Please be advised, this series contains harsh language and references to potentially triggering material. Episode-specific warnings can be found in the show notes.
Last time, on Ombligo del Diablo, the team made a few stops in San Diego for closure, though it may have given them more questions instead. Murph tried to come to terms with her loss. Oliver was sassed at by a ghost. Vincent lent a shoulder to lean on. Jamie revealed her plans, and Val got more than she bargained for. The night moves forward, with the sound of void dragons on the wind, and the team approaches the Mexican border.
Hello, and welcome to Obligo del Diablo. My name is Elf, and I'll be your storyteller this evening.
And here joining with me is James.
Hi, I'm James, and I'm playing Oliver Haldus, and somehow not the least trustworthy person in this group. Possibly, you know, in the top two.
Ginger.
Hello, I am Ginger. I'm playing Murph, your best friend, and legitimate psychopath.
Excellent. Matt?
Hey, I'm Matt. I'm playing Jamie. She's a little off, not anywhere near as crazy as the rest of her friends. And she's a scientist who goes around doing stuff.
Excellent. Sam?
Hello, I am Sam. I am playing Val Hernandez, the zoologist, former zookeeper, former animal sanctuary person, starting to become repentant, and it may be too late.
Awesome. And Dan?
Hello, everyone. I am Dan, and I am playing Vincent, who is as Vincent as the day is long.
He's more Vincent than ever. Who is going to spend XP, and how many of you are doing it in secret? Oliver?
I am not doing it in secret. I am taking a 4 in manipulation, not because of things I just learned. And that is going to be all I'm going to actually, I'm going to take a 1 in intimidation.
All right.
As just a life out here has made him more assertive.
Sounds good. That happens when you live in the in a desert that wants to kill you for a few months. And how about Murph?
Murph is going to take 2 in brawl for no reason. And a specialization, a firearm specialization against unarmed or helpless opponents.
Excellent. Jamie?
My XP purchase is a secret and flashy, and yeah, I'm not going to show it to you.
Ha. All right. Message it to me.
How dare you? How dare you? I trusted you, Matt, of all of them.
I feel like this is
a mute. Yes.
A mute situation. Do you want to do that real quick?
What?
I feel like this should be a mute situation. Do you want to do that real quick? So yep. The listeners can know.
Everybody go deaf.
Okay.
All right. What you getting?
I'm going to pick up Spirit 5 so I can get away from all these people that are falling into madness around me.
Shatter the dream shell?
Yep. And just walk away.
Fade out like you never were. Okay.
That was quick.
All right. And Sam?
Yes, mine are not secret. I am taking a 2nd point in time because we got those fancy things last session. And I am taking the rote Danger Sense for that. And I'm taking a 3rd pip in Athletics.
So 2 times 2, athletics 3?
Yes.
And Vincent?
I am dropping what might conceivably be my final XP points, all of them, into a 3rd point in stamina.
Neat. 15 XP for a 3rd point in stamina. All right. Let's go over people's hopes and fears. How about Oliver?
So primary hope is that Murph does not take whatever deal Miss Finn is selling.
Interesting. And your long-term hope?
I think long-term hope is going to stay the same. My distasteful skills can be used for good. My fears, short-term, new one, is that Vincent cannot be trusted.
That is not a fear.
Its basis in is that Vincent cannot be trusted. And the actual fear is that I will have to use my powers against him.
All right. There we go. Okay. And what about Murph?
I might also have to ask for secret time.
Okay, everybody go deaf.
All right, wonderful. Let's see. Long-term hope. Vengeance is owed to me. It will be mine. Short-term hope, Mrs. Finn's answers will be satisfactory. Long-term fear, I am put down before getting my fill. Short-term fear, any of my acquaintances getting in the way, hesitating to do what needs doing.
Nice.
Yeah, they're brutal. That's why I asked for secret time.
All right, how about Val?
Fuck, I might also have to ask for secret time now that I think about it.
All right, everyone go deaf.
Fuck. Okay, ooh, all right. So I have changed all of my hopes and fears. My long-term hope is I need to make sure that everyone gets out of this situation okay. Not happy, not necessarily entirely great, but okay.
Cut and run. Okay.
My short-term hope is that I will get help from my last-ditch contact, that being Orphiel and or the angels.
Reach out to the angels.
Yep.
Okay.
Long-term fear is that the people I care about are gone forever.
Oof. All right.
And that I don't just mean physically.
Yep.
Short-term fear is there is nothing I can do to stop the descent of my friends, and I have to just sit there and watch.
Nice. Okay.
Just like with my sister. All right. Yes, that's it.
Matt.
All right. Secret time. Y'all go deaf.
Ow! Yep. Oh my god, really?
Really?
Fuck!
Okay, what are Jamie's secrets?
I don't know about secrets. Stuff other people can't know. I guess that's the same. Jamie has a short-term hope of seeing Murph safely to Mrs. Finn, and a short-term fear that she's going to think Miss Fan is not a safe choice for Murph and need to kill or hurt Miss Finn. And then it's a very similar hope and fear dynamic for the group, which is basically, I'm hoping I can amicably part ways with everybody after we get Murph to Mrs. Finn, and that I don't feel like these people are so degenerate that I need to kill them for the good of the world.
Excellent. I hope I don't have to murder all my friends. All right. Vincent, do you need everyone to go deaf as well?
Nah. They know my shit.
I like hearing.
The only one that is now open.
I'm assuming many people's had to do with me in any case. Or maybe that's too narcissistic. I don't know. But okay, long-term hope. I feel good. I feel alive. I want more of it. Short-term hope. Leverage my advantages over others. Long-term fear, being forced to serve others again. Short-term fear, someone does something stupid that makes me kill them when I didn't plan on it.
Excellent. And I love the fact that given that Vincent's short-term, or that Vincent's advantage over others is a gun, that will be very interesting.
Indeed. Although he also intends on applying some RP pressure.
Yeah, that's absolutely not his only advantage over others.
Yes, also my charming roguishness.
All right. Let's visit our derangements.
Let's see how we're broken.
Starting with Vincent.
Okay. My derangements. Level 1, I can't be without my gun. Level 2 is my PTSD. Level 3 is Vincent shot first, and then what I've termed my major madness, that occupies like 2, seize power by whatever means.
All right. And Val?
Yes. So mine are long. My first level, I gotta make void beings real. My second level, I need to speak to people's shadows. My third level is every story needs its villain, and that has to be me. Fourth level is that my friends need to hate me so they aren't sad when I die. Really hoping to get rid of this one this time. And my last level, my fancy new one, my sparkly shiny new one, is that I can see who is possessed by demons by seeing physical horns on their heads.
Excellent.
It's very biblical.
All right. How about Jamie?
I have a temporary derangement, which has probably become permanent at this point, where I need to understand the art and science and magic of demon possession.
And then I've got a derangement that makes me think I'm more sane than I am and more sane than everybody around me, and a strong urge to need to be the sanest person in the room, like extra sane.
And then I picked up a new shiny derangement last session,
and it's called Friends Are for Fools, and it's fairly self-explanatory.
Excellent. How about Murph?
The list is long and deep. First level, overprotective. When I'm away from people, they get hurt physically or emotionally. second level kamikaze. I can't protect people by just being close. I need to put myself in the most direct line of fire. Third level, stay out of this. I need to stop the people I care about from getting hurt by outsiders by whatever means necessary. Fourth level, judge, jury, and executioner. I can see the truth better than most, and I'm the most capable to act upon it. Some people deserve a death sentence. Here are some new ones. Level 5, seeing red. People only care when I'm violent. I need the attention. Number 6, feeling good. I get anxious, itchy, when I haven't felt or inflicted pain after a certain time.
Excellent. And how about Oliver?
Oliver continues to believe that no one truly cares for him. He is compelled to take tokens from opponents that he has conquered in some fashion. He believes that no one can truly fix themselves, and he must meddle with their mental state. And he also believes that he knows that people are either entirely truthful or entirely liars, and there's just no
in between.
No in between.
Okay, I don't think anyone has any backgrounds they can claim from last session, given that, except...
What about Penelope? I get a vampire pet?
Allies, one. Okay, sure.
Orphaned, one?
What?
I said orphaned, one?
No, you can't join the club. You had a dad. Fuck you. Orphan okay. Club is closed.
Jesus.
Fair.
Can't be orphaned at 25.
24? I'm not a grandma.
I thought that you started the game at 24.
No, I started at 23. Anyway, carrying on.
Okay. Okay. Does anybody have a ritual they really need?
Make this all stop happening. My God.
Please.
I mean, technically, Murph could make this all stop happening, please. But given her particular set of derangements and paradox flaws, it would be a very interesting way in which that comes about.
What would that look like? Just out of curiosity.
You wouldn't know, but it would work out probably slightly less well than your last curse.
Ah, great.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have that much family left to kill, so, you know.
Just the ones in the room.
Eh.
All right. Sam, I think there was a ritual that you wanted. You can take it.
What, the one we were talking about?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to make that a ritual, not improvised magic?
Why not?
Should we mute for me? So the listeners can know?
Yeah,
don't worry. Oh, yeah, okay. I was about to say it's going to happen anyways. But Matt's already deafened, so go for it.
Okay.
Cool. Yes, so the ritual I guess I'm going to take, because I had all of the rituals already, I'm just going to say it's summon angel, but it's different now. Because I had summon angel before.
Speak with angels.
Speak with angels. I'm gonna replace summon angel with it anyways. So yes, speak with angels. Good question. Definitely need to steal Jamie's radio.
Okay.
And I'm gonna need to use the angel blood. The last I have left.
Probably not the best way to do it.
Nah, well. Remember, my spirit is all shadow-based.
Yeah, I think that you'd have to use your own blood, given that you are now, at least in part, a supernatural being.
True dat. Yeah, that's gonna fuck her up for a bit. Yes, okay, yes, using her own blood. She's basically going to do something similar to what Frankie was doing way back when.
Excellent.
Just not on an actual angel yet.
Okay, sounds good.
Hooray.
Now for our moment of levity. Can we go through and state our fun facts for everyone to hear? Tell me something.
Levity.
Tell me something fun about Oliver.
I hate to say it, but I knew that I looked up the name earlier today, but what's the Oompa music that from Mexico?
Mariachi?
No, Banda.
Banda.
That one. Oliver is absurdly fond of it. He can't help but dance.
And now Val needs to play that on her guitar. Some Banda music.
All right, how about Murph?
Maybe not exactly levity, but something that I felt needed filling in a little bit, because I've talked a lot about my dad and my relationship with him. My mom, you know, prior to her unfortunate demise, was a school teacher, and she also taught Sunday school. And as her disease progressed, You know, you've never felt scorn like having your heart blessed by a Southern Baptist woman.
Especially one who may have made a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
Okay. Something fun about Jamie.
Jamie used to pretend to travel to places by going to the library and reading about travel places. And then, like, imagining that she had gone there and writing up, like, random little stories about her trip to, say, Florida.
Now, was this when Jamie was, like, 12 or when, like, Jamie was, like, 25?
No, when Jamie was, like, 7 through 10.
Okay. So, had a Calvin and Hobbes era.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. All right. How about Val?
I would like to go last.
Dan?
Vincent isn't quite sure if he has an older sibling or not, but there was an older guy who looked a bit like him and his mom, who would sometimes hang out at the park and play checkers with him. And he's thought about that since then.
Looked like him and his mom, or looked like him?
Looks a bit like Vincent, and also a little bit like Vincent's mom.
Okay. Could have been dad, could have been an uncle.
Could have been. Didn't look quite old enough to be dad. Maybe an uncle.
Ah. Okay. Val.
Yay. Because nobody's going to ask about it in game. Here's the actual story behind how and why Val got fired from the San Diego Zoo.
Woo!
Yay! So I mentioned before that she primarily used to work in the aviaries. And at the time she was working there, they had this free flight aviary with generally like parrots, tropical birds, conures, smaller parrot type birds that are generally friendly. And, you know, you could buy feed for these birds, right? If you wanted to give them to land on you. So one day she was doing her shift in this free flight aviary, and a kid, probably about 10 years old, was, you know, using the feed to attract the birds. And one of the birds landed on his hand, and he just started, he tried to hold the bird, and they just started squeezing and squeezing. And Val saw this, of course, tried to stop him with words, and the kid kept squeezing, and the bird started making distressed noises. So Val grabbed the kid's wrist and squeezed hard enough to get him to let go, and left a bruise. Unfortunately for her, this kid's father was extremely rich, very pissed off, and while her bosses did say that they not approved of how she kept this bird from dying, well, they understood, but in order to avoid a lawsuit, they had to fire her. And that is the story.
So Val once risked her job and her entire lifestyle to prevent someone from strangling a bird. Fast forward 3 years later, and she strangles 3 people to death in a single afternoon.
You know, the problem is that nobody believes that Val has some good fucking intentions.
I'm blaming that kid. He sent her down the path. He was a demon.
Definitely.
Oh,
yeah,
because
everyone we don't like or has weird thoughts is a demon.
No, everyone you guys do like is a demon.
This is true.
Now you guys are on your way from San Diego, just about to cross the border with your fake papers and fake passports. And going through all this, all of you recover 1 aggravated willpower damage.
Yay.
1 paradox damage of each type, 1 aggravated physical damage, and lose 1 paradox. Okay, last check. You guys were planning on crossing the border probably around 3 a.m., and the cast of people in your large SUV are Oliver, Murph, Jamie, Val, and Vincent. Eden is driving. Armando is coming along as a passenger, as are Francine and Penelope. Quite a large car.
And Rex.
And Rex.
Of course.
Rex rides in the back.
And a ghost, maybe, that most of us don't know is there.
Oh, there are many ghosts that follow you. There's only one that you know of. And,
oh, jeez.
And a shirt dragon. Shadow Void shirt dragon.
Yay! Itty bitty baby.
Oliver, his eyes wander occasionally. Has he noticed Shirt Dragon?
Oh my god!
Yep. If you stare long enough into the void, the void also stares back into you.
The boob window stares back.
So does anybody have anything they need to do on the half-hour drive it takes to breach the border crossing?
Yes.
Yes. In the car?
Indeed.
What is that?
I would like to have a super secret conversation with Oliver.
That is not even remotely possible. You are in a car packed with 10 people. You'll have to have
a... his brain.
Oh, I see. A double conversation. All right. Well, are you okay having the conversation, or do you actually want everyone to deafen?
No, I'm totally okay actually having a conversation.
Okay.
Oliver is well versed at having two conversations at once.
Let's frame the conversation. What is the issue that needs to be resolved in this conversation?
Well, I need to get some information about some prior employers of his.
Okay.
Now
you ask for references?
So, go ahead. I will tell you that Oliver, the guy that hired you and Vincent last, was
What was the name of the gang? It was like the something boys or something.
That's who you were working with. But the guy who contracted out the job was just somebody named Colonel Marin.
Colonel Marin, okay.
A Mexican colonel who needed these two packages transferred discreetly.
Ah, so generally the worst guy.
Yes. And Murph, go.
Hey, Oliver.
Yes, Murph. You wanna play some car games while we're traveling? Cows on this side kind of thing?
It's kind of difficult with the amount of bodies that are in this particular vehicle.
Oh, it just makes it competitive. That kind of conversation is happening audibly.
Yes.
All right. And what do you spy with your little eye, Murph?
Can I ask you something?
Well, of course. What do you need, Murph?
Can you keep a secret?
Real world Oliver, like, smirks a little bit. Cannot keep a secret. Of course I can.
I just stare back. Real world Murph is just like, are you sure?
Well, absolutely. Especially for one such as you. You're one of my closest friends. I would dare say family.
What do you know about the people that you worked for when we met?
Oh, I didn't know much about them. Nasty folk, though. Especially once we found out what the quote package was.
Right. Do you know anything about Vincent's previous employers?
Well, I think that was my first time working with him. But he came with a good rep. Good shot, reliable. That's all I heard about him, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess it makes sense. They need to be stopped.
Who needs to be stopped?
All of the people that he used to work for.
Oh. Well, I mean, I've never really thought about it as a real option because I always considered myself powerless. But now that you say it, I mean with a lot of us, it would be child's play.
Right. I don't know about the lot of us.
Oh, so who are we including in our conspiracy?
Well, Vincent, if he'll come?
Well, it seems that Vincent has been under some stress lately. Maybe we can... If we can get him sorted, he should absolutely come. I think he would appreciate getting one over on those folks who've been benefiting off of his work and nefarious deeds.
I feel like he is owed some amount of retribution for what they did to him.
Okay, but that might be a long and bloody list. Are you sure?
I mean, what else is there?
Murph, you're very young. You've got your whole life of experiences in front of you. And Obligo del Diablo is a very small town. You should go out, experience stuff. Travel a bit. I think you might get around just on your luck alone.
Where do you go after multiple murders?
Now, I mean, I don't know if I told you before, but I've... My hands are not clean either, and I wouldn't say an intentional killing of a bad person makes you unredeemable. I think you've done plenty of good stuff. Just think about Vincent and I. We just about turned 180 in our lives, due to you.
Kind of, I guess. I don't know that he feels much of anything for anybody.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It just seems like a bit of a... He might be having a little bit of trouble. It seems like a treatment Valerie might have done might have gone sideways a little bit. I'm still thinking about looking into it. Keeping an eye on him. See if he does anything un-Vincent-y.
He's done so many un-Vincent-y things. I'm so confused how you don't see it.
Well, maybe he's just being careful, more careful around me. I haven't seen him do one thing that isn't him, except for take my advice on something without arguing too much.
He's never, I don't know, and maybe this is entirely selfish, but he's never shoved me away so hard.
Well, now that does sound crazy. We're going to have to look into this. You know, I want to stage an intervention, see if we can get to the bottom of this conundrum.
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm hoping maybe Mrs. Finn can help us.
Oliver gives a deeply uncomfortable look. If you think it's going to work, I'm behind you, but still don't feel terribly comfortable with that woman.
I mean, to be fair, she's probably single now, so maybe there's less issue?
That sounds like even worse of a problem. I don't know if you know what kind of mojo she was working on, myself and possibly Vincent.
Not exactly, but I mean, look at what she did. It's not she wouldn't just do that for no reason, right?
Do what exactly?
I gesture at the fact that I'm not in jail.
Right. For some reason, I thought that was Mammon's influence. But again, it could have been Mrs. Finn. Anyway.
She was the one that sent the help.
Right. I was under the assumption that she is under the thumb of Mr. Mammon. But again, we can't be sure of that. Just my gut feeling. But yes, I'm behind you 100%. I do not believe that Vincent is himself, even though I haven't personally seen it. Looks over at Vincent, gives him a big fake smile.
Stop flirting with him.
My eyes narrow at that.
I'd like to try and get a read on it.
Give me an wits insight.
Ooh, I hope you super succeed and make them start having their conversation for real out loud.
That would be wonderful. You normalize our conversation. Yay. But as he's giving you this smile, he's like, Vincent, you see any cows on that side? Keep your eyes peeled.
I got 3 successes. What do I think of what's going on?
Roll 5 dice.
Oh, no.
I got 1 on that one.
There's something up there. You're not... You know that they're talking about you, but they're not talking about you, which is weird. They're thinking about you.
Okay. So I think... I've experienced Murph talking in 2 ways at once.
You
and Oliver's dream magic.
You are aware that both of them are telepaths. That has been demonstrated upon many occasions.
Okay. I don't need to act on that further, I don't think. I just need to be aware of it.
Okay.
I imagine, I don't know if you're able to catch any errant thoughts, but I have to imagine there's just a little thought that floats by that is tagged Mammon needs to die.
Is that something I get?
Correct.
Basically, you get a startled thought and a just rapid mental calculations, and then that sounds like a terrible idea. Murph. I hear you thinking about getting revenge on these petty criminals and the colonel, but going up against Mammon and even Miss Finn, I don't think that's a smart idea. It was the dumbest thing I've ever done. Now I've done plenty of dumb things.
You've also made some really good decisions, and I glance over at Val.
Okay, where? I just want to say about that. You just said that Oliver could maybe shoot his shot with Mrs. Finn. What the fuck?
I didn't mean that. I meant
that's what it
in,
sounded like.
I meant that there is no husband to be jealous anymore.
Right. I Oliver knew where she was going, but he was like, okay. That sounds worse.
Blood orgy 3-way.
Oh, no!
But yes, continue. Oliver will respond. Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Okay.
Is there time for one other probably short combo?
Short, yes.
Yeah, Val needs to speak to Eaton.
He's driving, so no problem.
Cool. So Val's been mostly quiet this entire time, very contemplative. Hey, Eaton.
Yeah?
You remember Randy, right? I'm sure he paid you to help out with getting the sanctuary put together. Seems like something you do.
Yeah, I remember that guy. He He paid all right, but he didn't really talk much. I mean, not to the help. But, you know, day work's day work.
Uh-huh. Doesn't seem like him. Dude was a fucking chatterbox.
I think that he might not have thought that had much to say. I was just there to lift the heavy shit and put nails in place.
So I'm starting to think coincidences are a thing. And in that vein, since you've left town, have you seen him at all?
Him?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I haven't seen him. Seen a couple of guys he worked with, but...
Who?
Some of those Mexican military guys. Sometimes I've been having to run stuff across the border. Not sure if I'm really allowed to say too much more than that, but... fuck it. They got deals being made all over. And I can tell you... the boss doesn't seem to be too pleased with them. Though, they wouldn't know that.
Huh. So, just so that's... Because Sam is having trouble understanding, he's talking about the guys that Randall would get his fancy shit from the Yucatan. From.
Yes.
Okay.
The guys that were around the sanctuary now and then, wearing civilian disguises, but would often wear the bearing of a military man.
Uh-huh. Thinking we'll be running into them at all on this fun little trip?
I have no doubt.
Really now?
They haven't told me everything, but I run the messages, so I pick up things now and then. Yeah, I think that this current business involves them directly.
See what I just said about coincidences? Don't exist. All right. Well, that will help, Eaton. That will help quite a bit.
Hope not too much, and if it does, well, you didn't hear from me.
Of course not. I mean, I'd recognize him if I saw him. It's not like I needed to hear it from you.
He shrugs.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, you guys reach the border. The line isn't very long. It's about 5 cars. They are checking documents. Your rather conspicuous car pulls up with, that's 8 people they can see? One of which is a mildly disguised mole person who does not have documentation.
I did forget about that.
Oh, right.
I feel like that's
mind
something we would have
seen. Mind powers, people. Mind powers. I don't have
got
them,
it.
You do.
I feel like that's something at least Val would have fucking brought up. Like, well, maybe we should hide her under something.
Well, the other question is, where did you leave Penelope?
She's inside of the car with us, but she can make herself disappear, so that shouldn't be an issue.
Do you know that or only suspect it?
No, I know it, because stuff looked like it was going to get intense and she disappeared.
All right. So, everyone give me a manipulation plus streetwise roll.
Oh, man.
It's not composure? Seems like composure streetwise to me.
You are absolutely right. It is composure streetwise. Composure streetwise plus mind if you have it.
I was going to say, can I use a face you can trust?
Yes. Actually, I'm sorry. Oliver, don't roll.
Ah. Okay.
I am using dream.
Excellent.
What's the dream?
Okay. Yes, what is the dream for a composure for streetwise? What is the dream for streetwise?
You imagine pulling a job with Vincent and Oliver.
I actually think that might be it. She's a criminal
good
now.
Night, nurse, bat.
Yes. Yeah, no, a dream of the reimagining of the first time they all met, except she was also in the van.
Awesome. Get in the van, we're going to do crimes. So, Matt has a million successes.
God, I love crimes.
I think that's the most successes I've gotten in this game, ever.
So, they don't notice you, super don't notice you, and don't notice Penelope, and you're even able to make some excuses for Francine's lack of paperwork. Let's see. Dan got one success?
Yes.
All right. Everyone else got 3 or more.
This might be the best we've rolled collectively, like, ever.
Does Dan trip up on his own name?
Because yeah,
didn't
because
he
have
it's
the
weird
Vincent?
Chinese name?
Vin Jong. God damn it.
Yes, they take the papers, they look at it, and they say,
I see, Mr.
Jan Yun Chong.
Uh-huh. And
adopted.
What's your birth date, sir?
Why do I look underage?
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the car.
Emotional impulse.
Oh, what emotion?
Trust.
Trust is not an emotion.
Oh, come on. Feelings of trust.
No, happy is an emotion.
Content.
Hey, it's Chell's friend smell says otherwise.
This is fine. Very content.
So relaxed. Okay, he doesn't say get out of the car. He says, would you mind stepping over here for just a second?
I take a quick glance at Oliver and everybody I imagined would be able to bail me out of this. Nod.
Oliver gives you a look. It's inscrutable.
God damn it. Okay. I step out of the car. I assume there are other people around at this border crossing.
There are. They are flagging your car over to the side. The other one they've asked to step out was Armando.
Yeah. Okay. Tracks.
And they ask you, so what's your business in Mexico?
Just meeting up with my old friend Sam. He lives down there.
I see.
I'm going to try to make a distraction. I look around for something to wreck via radio.
Something to wreck via radio?
Yeah.
Using, like, you're going to use matter to cause something to break by resonant frequency?
Yep.
All right. Improvise some magic. What do you pick?
No, it's a rote. I've got wreck as a rote.
Oh, okay. I thought that your wreck involved hand tools, though.
Well, it does, but I've got forces now. So I guess it is improvised.
Okay.
So normally I'd have to touch it.
So what are you going to break? You're at this six-lane crossing with this little booth nearby.
A nearby car might catch fire.
Oh, my God.
One of the ones that someone's currently waiting in?
Yeah, that sounds like a good distraction.
How on fire do you want this car to be?
Mildly on fire, not exploding.
Okay, not melting flesh, screaming family?
No, definitely not that.
Okay. All right, give me some int technology.
Okay, dog.
Yes, join us flaming in the murder,
Jamie. Screaming family, who are you, Murph?
Join us on the murder train.
Murder!
Murder!
The murder train!
You know what's funny? Is that if this were a D&D, all of these killings wouldn't affect any of us.
That is true. It would be par for the course, and you guys would get to keep your lawful good alignment. After all, you're only killing goblins.
Right.
Five successes.
Okay, five successes. The car is exactly as on fire as you want it to be. I'm guessing you want it to be noisy and having parts shoot out everywhere?
Yeah, that's definitely the preference.
The vehicle's alarm goes off. Fire erupts from the hood. Both of the police that are talking to you and Armando turn around. The cop that's talking to Armando runs over to the little booth. The one that's over you like looks over at the fire and seems largely undisturbed. And he says, "Well, seems that a car's on fire. I suppose that I should really look into that. Can you tell me anything that could help to verify your identity? There is now no one else paying any attention to you."
I try to think back about any information that was given to me with this ID here.
Intelligence, politics, law. Diff 3.
I love that Elf is able to find things that we are no good at still. It's laudable. Good job, Elfboy. Good job.
I got one success on my two dice. I'll take one willpower to try and reroll that.
Bless the boy.
Bless.
Oh, okay.
You get two extra.
What are you giving up for that?
Yeah, I was waiting for it. Give me a second.
Can be something small. A small pain, a small memory.
It can be a memory?
Well, it can be some attachment to a memory.
Got it. Okay. Let me think.
Like telling someone a secret that will make them look at you differently.
Oliver smiles at you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the most obvious. I was going for a deeper dive.
What you got?
I was aiming for Angela being fuzzier.
Oh no, you have to do the act. You have to say something or do something to someone.
Ooh, okay. 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 Yeah, let's go with the Oliver, the secret I just told him.
Which was?
That I planned to murder Mammon.
Okay, good enough. Alright, you rerolled and got two extra successes?
I did indeed.
Alright. You have successfully remembered your fake birth date and address. It just sort of popped in right that second. And he nods and says, all right, well, you guys have a nice night. I'm going to go attend to that fire now.
You as well, man. Have a good one.
He waves and then turns around and jaunts off to the other, you know, officers that are all freaking out and trying to put out a car fire with a little fire extinguisher. And Eaton drives, Eaton's like, get in the car. I didn't think that was going to go that well.
Hooray. Yeah, okay. Vincent does so, breathing a bit heavily.
Jesus Christ.
That's going to give him a look like an are you okay look.
Yeah, don't worry about me. I got to hell. But I don't know how I pulled up what was on that damn John Young whatever's card.
You're welcome.
Shit, Murph, you do that. God damn, you always come through.
I just do like a little bow from the backseat.
Good on you.
Well, remember your blood pressure. Keep it low.
Good job, Murph. Good job.
Yeah.
All right. On the way, Eaton says, well, the spot we're supposed to meet is about 700 miles from here. We could make that full drive tonight. We'd get there, somewhere around noon or two.
Or we can stop off someplace at one of the hotels around here.
Spend the night there and get going tomorrow. Which would be your preference?
I mean, I kind of feel like we should be meeting up with her at night.
I suppose that's one way to look at it. Yeah, sure. All right. We'll stop off at a place somewhere around daybreak and get a hotel room.
That sounds like a good plan.
All right. So, you guys drive for another 2 hours, and there is a small hotel on a cliffside that overlooks the beach, the western bank. And it's one of those places where there's basically just this road, this beautiful old-style hotel, and a beach that just seems to go on forever. And out the backside is just sand dunes. Somewhere way off in the distance, you can hear somebody on a dirt bike and a coyote howl. But not another sound in sight, and you could see almost as many stars as you could back home.
On the way, I play 99 bottles of beer on the wall, but with Oliver, I start at 95 in his head, and out loud I say 99 and see which one of us loses count first.
Oh, God.
That's the worst. And I, as a player, hate it, but Oliver will be in. Can we roll off real quick? What is that roll?
That is a composure plus academics roll.
Okay.
Oh, I'd win. I win.
Not going to be hard to beat me.
Holy shit.
Well, for those of you listening along at home, Murph has gotten 5 successes on out count bottles of beer.
At like 53, Oliver realizes he messed up. And I'm sure everybody in the car is just frazzled, but Oliver starts laughing and it's just like, Murph, you're just too good at that. Wow, you gotta teach me some tricks.
What can I say? I learned from the best. And I wink.
All right.
I think this really tickles Jamie and she's laughing her ass off.
Val is also laughing quietly to herself.
So you guys rent all 5 of the hotel's rooms.
Woo. I try to find someone with a silk shirt, silk Hawaiian shirt, and change.
Wait, you mean you're asking about clothes?
Yeah.
The guy at the front, he says, you were speaking to him in Spanish, yes?
Of course. And I tell him I want to look like an American tourist.
He says, sir, my wife is a tailor. She could, in the course of a single day, custom fit you in brand new suit, Do you wish?
I slap down a couple hundreds and say, can you do it in a couple of hours?
A suit or a Hawaiian shirt?
A Hawaiian shirt. I just wanted hemmed up.
As you wish, sir. As you wish. No problem.
I burn her resources to look obnoxious.
Yep. He says, is there any particular theme to this?
Oh, rosy pink and yellow. Lots of palm trees.
I see.
Maybe a toucan, if you can find it.
If this is overstepping, I do not mean to be rude, but do you wish your outfit to be as conspicuous as possible?
Oh, absolutely.
I see. Yes, sir. Absolutely. You see a sort of deep disappointment in the guy's eyes.
His wife finally gets work. It's for this.
Oh, she gets work every once in a while, but just it's like if you went to a chef and said, "Can I get hot dogs in my mac and cheese?"
Exactly.
The conversation with his wife seems to go on a little bit longer than you think it should, and there's a bit of back and forth. But she goes out and takes her measurements.
That's what Oliver's doing for the first, I don't know, half hour.
And she's like, extra, extra large, sir?
No, certainly not. I'm a maybe an XL. You're right.
Yes, sir.
I also get some normal clothes for Francine.
But okay.
Like, mostly covering and like a big sun hat.
Do you allow the tailor to close look at Francine?
I don't even bring Francine. Francine waits outside.
Okay.
And I generally describe her proportions.
Okay. All right. So the cliff that overlooks the beach is about 8 feet high. The beach is pristine white sand, and it looks like the morning will be breaking soon. Who else has business to attend to? Obviously, Jamie has something that he needs to figure out quick.
I would like to go see the sunrise for sure and try to quiet all the voices in my head.
All right. I'll handle that one last.
Yep.
Jamie?
All right. Go into the room. Try to get Penelope settled. A closet that's appropriately dark enough for if she wants to sleep under the mattresses or what she thinks might be safe to hide her from the sunrise.
Penelope says, I haven't seen a room like this in a long time. I'm afraid of the sun.
You should be. I think it might kill you.
She does not look comforted.
That's not my job.
She discovers that the bathroom does not have windows.
Yeah.
And she goes in and she takes all the covers off of one of the beds.
Okay.
And then all of the towels out from the towel rack.
Makes herself a cocoon in the tub?
Yep.
Okay. Well, now that she's situated, I'm going down to the beach.
All right.
Before Jamie goes to the beach, Val is going to try to intercept her.
Okay.
That's easy enough. I'm just walking down to the beach.
Jamie. Hey, Jamie. Hold up.
Okay. I'm just going to the beach. You want to go with me?
Yeah. I was about to take Rex for a walk anyways. I figured he'd like it. But I did... Yeah, you know what? Let's just keep walking. That's fine. I need to ask for a favor, and I need you to not ask what it's for.
She's staring at you.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a go-ahead. Can I borrow your radio?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay, that was a bit easier than I thought it would be. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you want me to show you how to use it?
That would probably be helpful, yes. I'm listening to Jamie's shadow.
Jamie's shadow looks at you and says,
she's going to get me killed. She's crazy. She's crazy. I have to stop her.
Ooh, that's not good. Oh, that last part's not good. You know, it's a little funny.
Oh, what's that? What's funny? I'm going to go for a swim. I should have slept on the way here.
Yeah, I didn't think that these would be the circumstances in which we'd all actually go to a beach.
Yeah, well, who says God doesn't have a sense of humor?
Oh, you will not be hearing me say that.
I get stuck in a laughing fit for a minute. Old insanities are coming back.
Hey, here's another something a little funny. You remember the oh god, I forgot what they were called. The breeding, or not the bearded dragon breeding project I was working on.
Yeah, it seemed exciting.
Yeah. And Val's gonna pull the little dragon out of her shirt.
Jamie, squeeze! Oh my god, that's fantastic! Holy Isaac Newton, can I touch it?
Holy shit. Val was not expecting this reaction. So.
You created alien life form from void material. What reaction were you expecting?
I don't know, horror?
Horror?
This is the person who was, like, racing to get in the void before you, but was only mildly talked out of it because of a priest.
The void dragon leaps from Val's shirt, flaps around, and lands on Jamie's face.
Oh, shit!
Trying to perch on Jamie's nose.
I let it. I'm laughing. I'm trying to hold still.
Hold still and lean your head back?
Yeah. This is amazing, Val. You did it.
I mean, this was not what I was...
Sammy's got, like, tears of joy. She's, like, so happy for you.
Shit. This was not what I wanted out of this, Jamie. Just hold still. You do not want it breathing on you. That's, you know, it's not fire. Let's just say it's not fire. I don't know what it is. It's not fire, though. And Val is going
probably
to...
Probably void energy or negative... life energy, depending on how you made it. Wow.
Yeah, I was hoping for fire. That was the plan. Obviously didn't work. Val's going to try to carefully scoop it back up.
I try to pet it as it's going away.
It reaches out, and it opens its mouth and reaches out towards your finger.
Okie doke.
And slowly bites you.
Ah! Ah, it got me! I roll my not acting. It's got me.
Don't encourage it, Jamie.
It pokes through the skin, and a drop of blood wells up, and it is hungrily licking at it.
Yeah, Val pulls it back fast.
Does it do a tiny little dragon screech?
It does, like, a tiny little
fork
little
on
dragon.
Glass.
Yep, fork on glass dragon screech.
Bad M. I don't even know. I don't even know if.
Have you shown anybody else?
No, God, no.
Do you have something to keep it safe in?
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems to like my shirt for some reason. Look, I don't think I'm a little bit insane already, so.
Well, all of us are at least a little bit insane. There's no denying that. You need some sort of terrarium or container to keep it safe, keep it from hurting itself or getting smooshed.
I have one. It will not go in there. And I'll be quite honest, I'm not about to force it to do
anything.
Why don't
you just put something dead in there? Seems to like blood just fine. Kill a small bird or a mouse.
You sometimes are a little scary, Jamie. Did you know that?
Aren't we all? Isn't that why we kind of gravitated to each other, I suppose?
Okay, fair enough. Well, I guess I mean...
Have we reached the beach yet? Or no, we kind of got stopped in our tracks by cuteness.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, two things happen. One, when you're putting putting the little dragon back, you notice that it's a little bit bigger.
Oh, fuck no. Oh, God.
Two, Jamie, gain one paradox.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's not good. Feed me, Seymour.
Good dragon.
Feed me.
Right?
Oh, no.
Does it have to be human?
All right.
Yeah, gotta keep it away from the blood. All right, cool. So, cool. Until it's time to kill Mrs. Finn, in which case, give it all of the blood so that we can just kill her. Just kill her dead.
What?
No, that's not.
This, right?
That's a Sam. Yeah, that's a Sam thing. That is Sam speaking.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
I asked you if you want me to make you a container.
I mean, I don't know if we have time for that, but if
we have a 7-hour ride coming up.
Oh, fine, sure.
And it'd help. You guys also have a day at the hotel.
Oh, full day? Oh, yes, that's right. We're leaving at night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I was just trying to get something that would keep it hidden.
The first thing we'll need is a suitcase.
What?
If we had a suitcase, I could reinforce it and make a little window for it to peek out of it if it wants to, and I could just tint it so nobody could see inside.
Have you ever wondered if you should go into, like, inventing instead of just geology, Jamie?
Occasionally. I don't have the same passion for it as I do rocks and the mineral science, but that's starting to fade too.
All of this void energy and new energy has just kind of consumed all my time and energy.
I'll look for one when I go do laundry. That's the end of that conversation.
Okay. When you get to the sand on the beach, Rex flips out.
Rex is given. Wait, are there any other people on the beach?
Just Murph.
Cool. Rex is given free rein to run around as much as he likes.
Rex just starts like sniffing the sand and gets like sand on his muzzle and then just starts bolting back and forth along the beach, running like around in circles, seeing the big poofs of soft sand disappearing behind him, and then he discovers the water. Safe to say, he is amply entertained for, well, several dog hours at least.
Does he do the go into the waves and then run away from the waves?
Yup. Chase the waves, bite the waves, run away from the wave.
Oh lord, it's still coming.
Throw sticks into ocean.
Yep. So, is there anything else that anyone else needs to handle before we go move over to Murph?
Just one very small thing, and in passing to Vincent.
Oh, Vincent, we're not going to have a situation like this for a while, I'll bet. You and I should have a beer on the beach. Have a little bit of a sit down. What do you say?
Okay, so for the record, I was going to bring up that Vincent definitely wants to have a conversation with, like, basically everyone, but, like, but small ones, just as a heads up. But when Oliver approaches him, he'll just chuckle a little bit. And as we're getting deeper into the Mexican heat, even deeper than ODD, he will at last take off his denim jacket to go down to the beach and smile and nod about it.
Yeah. All right, Oliver.
You would definitely notice that Oliver is working you.
Of course he is. But let's see where that leads.
I look over at Val while we're on the beach.
I tell her, I say, so what do you want to do once we get Murph to Mrs. Finn? What are you thinking?
What am I thinking? Not die? Would be nice. What are you thinking?
Not sure yet, but I think I'm going to have to go. I think once we get Murph to Mrs. Finn, if we feel like she's going to be okay there, I need to go somewhere by myself. I got to get away from everybody.
Huh. I mean, is that any different than what you were planning before?
I don't know. It's just a definite time. Before now, there wasn't a place or a time that I knew for sure that I was going someplace different.
Huh. Then why ask me?
So I wanted to know what you were going to do, what you were thinking, where to send a postcard or a call.
Why would you want to do that, Jamie?
I don't know. Maybe I don't.
Fucking ow.
Oof.
Ow.
I mean, I didn't have friends for a long time, and I was just fine. And I tried having friends, and...
It seems to be taking a toll on me, and you, and everybody else.
So, maybe I'm better off not contacting, but I thought leaving options open might be better. But I'm good either way, I guess. I'm gonna go for a swim. I stomp off.
Yeah, you do that.
All right.
That is hurt.
Indeed. Anybody else before Murph? No? Vincent?
Are we doing Murph first and then me and Oliver at the beach?
I thought you and Oliver at the beach was set up for later? Was that true? Or was it...
I assume that other people were going to act first. I wasn't immediately going down to the beach. The idea was to get him alone on the beach.
Okay. All right. Then Murph on the beach with Murph's thoughts. What?
Yes. Indeed, Murph's thoughts.
What is Murph thinking about on the beach? What is Murph trying to work through?
Okay, so you described the beach as like white sands, correct?
White sand beach. The sun is rising behind you across the dunes, making the white sand sand beaches turn a pinkish orange. The sea is a deep purple.
The sands, like the color of the sand, immediately reminds me of back home.
Okay. And what do you think of back home?
Are there any high vantage points?
There's some taller sand dunes.
That'll do, I suppose. Just, okay. You know, obviously a lot of working through everything that's happened and trying to take a minute to kind of let it process. I just talked to my mom out loud.
Okay.
You have a feeling as if she's there with you, maybe?
Okay. Well, I never thought that I would get to this point, but I guess I'll try if you can hear me. If there is something after all this, hopefully you and Dad landed in the same spot, I guess.
My baby, I miss her.
Ha! Oh, I look around.
There's no one there.
My baby.
Okay. Did you know what you were doing and who you were talking to?
My baby, come back to me.
I have things that I have to do. I think you made a bad deal, Mom.
Please, Murph, come back. It's so lonely here.
So you and Dad didn't end up in the same spot?
It's so lonely and the water's like black ice. Come to me, Murph.
I have stuff that I need to do first.
I can't hear you. The cold. So cold.
Shit. Can I see Jamie from here?
Yeah, Jamie is off swimming in the water, and Jamie gets knocked over by a wave, and you can see that when she stands up, she's just laughing.
Are you hurt right now?
I'm alone.
I think really hard about, do I want to go ask Jamie to talk to her?
Mm-hmm. It seems like your mother can only halfway hear you. Or maybe this is just some imagining of her. But there's a depth of pain and sadness in her voice that you're not sure you only heard from her when she was at her absolute worst, the days that she didn't recognize you.
I'm gonna flip the coin.
Alright.
I go run down to the beach towards Jamie.
Okay.
And Jamie. Scream at her from the water. Jamie, I need your radio.
Ah. Val's got it.
And where is she?
I'm not sure. She walked down here with me.
Trying to wrangle dog.
Fine. Then I sprint to Val.
Come on, Rex. No, we'll come back later.
Val?
Rex keeps on running up to you and then running back away.
Very cute.
Need to leash train this dog. No, come back.
Val.
Hey, what's up?
Do you have Jamie's radio?
Val clams the fuck up. You need it?
Yes. Give it.
Do you know how to use it?
Nope, but I'll figure it out.
I mean, Jamie just told me how to use it, so if you need help.
Fine, I think my mom's trying to talk to me.
Oh, okay. And Val walks Murph through how to use the radio as told to her by Jamie.
All right, third head information. Excellent.
Ladies, I brought some drinks down from the hotel. Hope you're busy. I'll go play with Rex.
I tried to use the radio.
I see some drinks and I go chase after Rex.
Okay, so your spheres and spirit are zero, right?
Correct.
Excellent. All right.
Can Val help?
Murph believes that she's got it.
Okay.
All right. Give me an intelligence technology roll.
Oh, great. One success?
Elf, please have it be band of music. Make him dance. Make him dance.
Well, that's the first thing that comes on.
Good choice, Murph.
But some more tuning, and it turns to a dead channel. And in the static, you hear the voice more clearly. You even start to get get poppy visuals, like your eyes are getting blurry. And you see, in the darkness, you see your mother's face. Her eyes are dripping blood, and there's frost on her eyelashes.
Can you hear me?
Murph. Murph. Are you safe?
Relatively speaking.
He promised me you'd be safe.
Who did you promise, or who did you make that promise to?
Jesus. Jesus kept you safe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. But how long have you been like this?
Been like this?
In pain.
The pain is forever, Murph.
Oh, boy. Is there anything I can do to help?
Join me, Murph. Join me in the darkness.
Oh, boy.
Give me a willpower roll.
Fantastic. Botch.
Holy shit.
All right. A deep sense of existential terror fills you as your mind just expands to a view of an eternal and infinite hellscape. Your only thought is to escape from this moment right now, to make this voice stop. What do you do?
Oh, God. It's fine.
How do you escape?
The rote. It's fine.
Oh, remind us what that does again.
Entropy 5, rote. It's fine. Beat somebody's willpower roll to erode their concern or attachments to something. This always causes at least one aggravated willpower damage to myself that does not heal until either the thing they cared about is no longer relevant, or the spell wears off, or they or I break it.
All right, and you're using this on yourself?
Correct.
You are erasing your mother.
Just hopefully that the knowledge that she is in pain and wants me to join her.
Well, see how exact you are. Roll a manipulation plus persuasion. Difficulty 7 for exactly what you want.
But lower successes will do other things.
And visually, I'm just kneeling in front of the radio being like, it's fine, it's fine, just be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet.
4
successes.
All right. Your mother and what happened to her just doesn't matter to you anymore. You take 1 aggravated willpower. Your memories of your mother fade. They're still there, but they're just not impactful anymore. Like your mother was, as if your mother was just someone that you met a few times.
Criminy. So,
someone who was always kind of there in your childhood, but, you know, not important like your dad.
Right.
I do think that would make Val turn off the radio.
All you see is she's listening to some static.
Okay, so she isn't doing what she said she was doing.
And then she says it's fine.
Okay.
Like, none of this is audible at all. It just looks...
Then yes.
She just looks...
Val does nothing.
She looks very disturbed for about 2 seconds, and then just looks a little bit blanker.
How much ag willpower?
Just 1.
Just 1.
Just 1.
Just 1 ag willpower that doesn't heal.
Right.
Well, unless very, very specific circumstances are met.
Right. Which will be difficult to meet, seeing as you can't do much about the current scenario, given that that you wouldn't care to.
Correct.
Okay.
I just looked at Val, like, what were we doing?
Oh, also, your next spell is free.
Ha, ah, thank you.
Oh, damn.
You did give up something. That makes sense.
You were talking to your mom, or is it okay? Are you all right?
I was.
Immediate concern. Yeah. I'm gonna listen to her shadow.
Oh, this is a difficult one.
The shadow says,
"Stop bothering me. I just can't be bothered with you anymore. Always prodding, always poking. You're just not that important, Val."
Perfect. 1 down. 4 to go. No, wait. 2 down. Ha ha.
Yes! Rack up those XP.
Ha ha! So, Val's gonna rock back on her heels, turn off the radio and pick it up, and say, yeah, looks like you're doing fine, though. Yeah?
Yeah, of course. I don't know why I would talk to her. I didn't really know her. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, okay. Just hang on a second. Oliver!
Those drinks all right?
Come here for a second.
Oh, sure thing. Have I caught Rex?
I mean, you caught Rex like 5 times.
Oh, yes. I woozle Rex again, and then I run away.
Okay. Well, Rex chases after you.
Of course. Hi, Drago. Oliver is barefoot, khaki pants, and a very loud Hawaiian shirt.
What the fuck are you wearing? Nope. Later. We'll talk about it later.
No, those aren't ready yet.
Oh, those aren't ready yet? Sad.
Gonna take till near evening till that masterpiece is completed.
His pants are rolled up. He's barefoot.
Hang out here for a second, Murph. And Val's gonna pull Oliver aside just a bit so that they're out of earshot.
Oh, enjoy that drink, Murph. It's a Lamarita.
I just start making a sandcastle.
It is very relaxing. You have not felt this free for days.
I just smile at my little sandcastle and think back to that dream.
Mm-hmm.
Murph was trying to speak to her mother over the radio. She seemed distressed, and now she's not. And it seems like... So she just told me that she barely even knew her mother, and not in a way of, like, I didn't know that she was an asshole, right?
That makes sense. But can Jamie's radio do that? Talk to dead people? I mean, yes. I wouldn't put it past her.
Well, yes. I mean...
No, you're right. Saw it I have way seen back that when. In person, of course. Actually, she gave me a little test run at the cemetery.
She did?
Yeah. She was just killing it a little bit of time while you were paying your respects.
Right. Can you check on her? Because something doesn't feel right.
I'll see if there's any noodling I can do in there. See if I can... Because that does seem like a strange thing to see.
Yeah, you do that. Rex, no, don't you dare dig in that seaweed. Ugh.
Rex's entire mouth is just clung to with bits of black seaweed.
Dragging one of those huge, like, clumps behind him.
Yep.
Gives Oliver a pleading look before running off after Rex.
Just play with him. He'll get up close if he thinks he's chasing you. I go up to Murph and Sandcastle and... like plop down next to her and start building one next to her.
You should work on the moat.
Oh, absolutely. I finish a cup and start using it as a shovel.
Indeed.
So, Murph, you've never really talked about your family much, and it seems like you've had pretty rough time. Is there anything you'd like to share? Anything you'd like to get off your chest? Elf, I'd like to do improvised mind magic.
Oh, for reading?
Not for reading. I feel like Oliver would possibly know mind messery.
To detect.
I want to try to detect and counterspell if there is something there.
Oh, roll to detect. That is an insight roll. Wits insight.
Okay. I need to do this before you start talking, because if you say I'm fine, then I'm screwed. I just need to go in there with confidence.
Though you don't know that.
No, I don't know that. 2 successes. I'm going to take some willpower.
Okay.
I'm going to reroll 3. Okay, 4 successes. That's not as bad.
There is something missing in Murph. There's just, like, this dead spot. And no, it is not something that you can fix.
Also, which numbers do I have leaky mind on?
That is 5, 6, and 7.
Well... Just as he's sitting down and saying that to you, he just immediately pops out with, looks like he threw a blanket over something in there. What's that about?
Over what? There's no blanket in this sandcastle. What are you talking about?
I meant your noggin, of course. More like you swept something on the rug. I think that's a more apt metaphor.
You would know all about that, wouldn't you?
Oh, for me, it's a whole partition down the middle, you know?
Why is that?
Oh, sometimes it's better, for me at least, just a personal choice, to have sort of a man behind the curtain. 2 men, actually. They don't really know what the other one is doing most of the time.
Well, maybe it's the same thing. I don't know.
Well, I would say that you got me passing notes recently. One of the good effects you've had on me, at least.
Is being more honest about stuff?
Yeah, with myself, with you. I mean, you kind of forced me into it. You called me on my nonsense constantly.
Well, I mean, if I didn't do it, who would?
Good question. Probably not me. Well, that's why I'm here. It seems like you might be taking my advice a little too literally.
I think really hard. Do I have any idea what he's talking about?
I draw attention to it.
I think that you intellectually know what you did. It's just not a very important thing to you. It was... Yeah, so you knew that you did that. It just isn't a big deal.
Okay. Yeah. I think my mom is in hell and wanted me to join her, and she had a very compelling argument, so I had to shut her voice off. Do you want to go find some seashells for the windows?
Oliver pauses for a moment and just sort of stares at you.
Yes, I would like to get some seashells. Those look like some nice ones over there.
Okay.
I wander towards them.
Oliver's going to start... While they're walking towards seashells, Oliver is just going to say, that sounds rough. My parents are still alive. Nope, you wouldn't have expected nothing like that from a man as old as me, would you?
You aren't that old. I mean, if you were that ancient, Val wouldn't be dating you.
Oh, well, I'm glad you tried to get in touch, even if it was across the metaphysical planes. I barely call the rents maybe once every 3 or 4 months.
You should do that. It's really important. You don't know what you're missing till they're gone.
You reminded me just the other day at the pancake place. Called my pops. It's a nice conversation.
You should really do that more often.
I will. Don't you worry. And next time, maybe get Jamie to tune that radio for you. She's a pro.
I tried, but she gave it off to Val, and I don't know. It seemed important at the time, less so now. Well,
fair enough. But, you know, there's no reason you can't try again sometime. You should always try to get in contact with her, especially if she's in a bad place. I think she could use a ray of sunshine like yourself.
Well, if she's in a bad place and she's trying to drag me down there.
Well, that's why you get us to help. You don't go in willy-nilly with a radio you don't know how to use.
I mean, I figured it. I don't know. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Oh, it does. You just told me it does. You can't say that. Let's try it tonight. After we have a nice, friendly dinner, you can get Jamie on the horn and see if we can get her to help you get a connection. This time, we'll be there to back you up.
Well, I guess if that's what you want, I just kind of shrug.
Well, it is what I want. Now, this shell looks like it could be a grand palisade, kind of really be wet, like the center of a cathedral. What do you think?
Ooh, stained glass window?
Oh, definitely. And we do that for a little while.
All right, one thing to note, all of you are rather exhausted.
You guys have not slept for nigh on 24 hours.
And this is not abnormal.
And probably need to finally actually be getting to bed. So, y'all head off. When you wake in the early evening, you're...
Wait. Yeah? I need to do the thing.
Right. Yes. Doing the thing. What do you need for doing the thing?
A couple of things.
Okay.
So, there's only... Here's my question. There are more than 5 people and only 5 rooms.
Yep. 2 to a room.
Who's bunking with Val?
I assumed they just lumped us together. Question? Unless you and Oliver wanted to be together.
Oliver winks at you when this is brought up. But, shrugs, and it's like, I don't have a strong preference. Unless, of course, Val would appreciate my company.
Yeah, she'd probably room with Oliver. Okay. Shit, and Oliver has that thing where he doesn't
sleep.
Yeah, I know! Shit!
And do you know about that?
I know! Okay. Oh, no, I haven't. So, shortly after Oliver's gone to sleep, Val's going to get up and say something, a whisper, like, just taking Rex out real quick. She's going to clip a leash to Rex, leave the room.
Uh-huh.
I believe you.
With the radio?
With the radio.
All right. says, I'm just going to take Rex out for a minute, grabs the radio and clips a leash onto Rex. And
seems legit.
All right.
I mean,
can I insect that? That seems suspicious.
Nope.
Okay.
You will invent a reason why that makes sense, because you trust Val.
Bad idea. But anyways, look down to Sal and say, can you please stay back here and make sure that nobody follows?
You're lying to me, Val. You don't want me to hear what you're going to say.
Yeah, because I'm going to talk to Emily and you're a dick.
Where do you think I came from, Val?
Shit. You can either stay here or I can figure out a way to make you stay here. Which do you want to deal with?
Uh-huh.
And he disappears.
Fine, good enough. I'ma go down to the beach.
Okay. Bright, sunny day, hanging out on the beach with your radio.
Yep. And I think this is where everybody needs to deafen.
Okay.
Unless anybody suspects anything.
Oliver does not.
This is infuriating. I would have just been like, okay, and then like, rode along in your head.
Too bad you are super crazy. All right.
So, I'm going to find a place where there is nobody on the beach.
Stretches of open, empty beaches are abundant.
Great. And I'm going to turn on the radio, like Jamie told me to.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. 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 Fuck. Orfeel?
Hello?
Does it sound like Orfeel?
It does.
Holy shit.
I'm a bit confused as to why I'm speaking to you through this radio.
I bet you already know exactly who you're speaking to, though.
No, well, who is not really so much the question. It's what is it that you want?
Oh, right to the point. At least I'll give you that.
You're just not the one that I figured would be trying to talk to me.
Believe you me, I didn't expect to be trying to talk to any of you either, but here we are.
Well, what is it that you need?
It takes Val a very long stretch of time. I need your help. I don't know how much you or your boss, I guess, actually knows about the situation.
That sounds like a hard thing to admit.
Fine. Vincent is possessed. I'm pretty sure he's possessed. And
your friend is not possessed.
Wait, what?
Your friend is not possessed. Your friend is merely tempted.
No, I can see it.
You can see there's something wrong with him, and you're right. But possession, that's somebody else inside you. Temptation, that's you. Maybe the devil talking to you. But the devil's talking to all of us. Your friend just might be listening.
Huh. You know what? I'll trust that you know what you're talking about on that one. Huh.
He got a gift given to him. And he don't want to give it back. But when the devil gives you a present, it comes with a cost.
I should have been the one to pay that cost, though. I was the one who... The point is, he needs help. They all need help, and I can't help them. Can't, and I've tried to reach out to others for that help, and they... I went to the devil before I went to you. Let's just say that, and I'm sure you already know.
Well, I must say that my prices are higher.
That's fine. I was willing to pay just about any price to Mammon, and I... What do you want? What do you want? Do you want me to get on my knees and beg to make sure that they are okay?
No.
What do you want? I will do it.
You've got to give this thing up.
This thing.
This thing you got going on, trying to shut out the light, thinking you can destroy what God created. You got to give up that. You got to give up the darkness in you. That's the price. And Vincent, too.
Vincent has to give it up too. That's the price for making sure they're okay.
It's the only way.
Val is going to think for a long, hard moment. Glance down at M in her shirt.
It sort of like hisses and sticks a little tongue out.
Bites the tip of her thumb.
Wait, are you?
No. Val bites the tip of her own thumb. Sorry, I didn't realize that was a...
Hold on, let me contemplate your offer while I feed my evil dragon my own blood.
Right. Can I ask you just one question before I make my decision?
You can ask.
Emily, my sister, is she safe? Is she okay? Is she somewhere nice?
She's in a place in between.
She's got some things to talk about with herself.
And I think she's looking back at you.
Wait, what do you mean? I don't... Purgatory?
You might call it that.
If I give this stuff up, I can't help her.
If that's the way you feel, maybe you can't help her at all.
That's fucking rich.
The dead don't got a lot to do except look back. And she's looking back at you. A sister learns a lot from a sister. Just think about what you're teaching her.
Ooh, that shit hits heavy. Val, thanks for another long, long moment. Okay, if you can guarantee that they'll all be okay.
I
said I'd give up anything, and I mean that. I mean it.
I don't have the power to guarantee their safety. I can show them how to take that hand that's tearing them down and cast it away. They have to take that step. It's not for me.
I guess that's about as good a deal as I'm going to get from literally any of your lot. One side of the coin or the other. Okay. What do I need to do? Give it up, obviously, and I'll do that. It's fine. I'll do it. But what do I need to do that?
Maybe the best way is to start with the truth.
I can't see ahead in time, but I do know our paths will cross, and soon. I do not have the gift to know what will happen then. But you just gotta see your friend through to make the right choice.
And if I were to forget a couple of things that would... You know what? No, I'm not... I guess I'll figure it out myself, but, All right. Yes, please. I'll do that. I'll do all of that.
That we will see.
And the radio fades out into static.
Down to the final decision, and the world will break apart today. And the world will break apart.
Next is Jamie, but Jamie is deaf.
Oh no, we've lost Matt forever. We've done too many deafens. Jamie just left. that was a secret. Jamie just
said,
left.
Nah. She was just like, nah, I'm good.
Yep, I'm out.
Of the void.
Uh-oh.